Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio broadcasting station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, September 21st, 2008. It is now about 8.01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, which is live right now, by the way, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email us anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And especially what has occurred this week, folks, you need Andy's advice, and you need to have your head put on straight with as far as what is going on from a macroeconomic point of view. He also has a paid subscription. It's only like $49 a year. It is excellent. I encourage everyone to support that. Send him your money and get some personal attention. He's very, very good. He actually is a real economist, by the way. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about George Bush and the presidency, maybe just the presidency in general. But before we do that, we have a few emails that I would like to read over there. We got a rash of emails. There's a few I'd like to just give special attention to. This one is from my good old friend Tom. Tom is from Chile, and he sends me emails all the time, beautiful pictures of Chile. And this one is kind of neat. He says, okay, so this time we vote for president and we vote for members of Congress. I think a better system would be to vote on appropriations of government money. Three or four times a year, the citizens would allow to be vote on any appropriation bill which authorizes more than $100 million. I do not think this would be an impossibility, but I also think you could not get any politician to agree on this manner of voting. I agree there, Tom. This power is in controlling the purse strings of the government. Using my method, the Iraq War would have ended 4 years ago, and using this method, the public would show much more interest in voting. Tom, I couldn't agree more with you. The unfortunate part is that the voter is relatively uninformed and would be unable to make those types of decisions. And I think the voters would be very, very swayed by politicians and their doublespeak. Let me add something to that. Congress should not be voting on anything. It's we the people. The states are sovereign. That means the federal government is not sovereign. The states are sovereign. We handle what we need locally. And if we're voting locally for local issues. There should be no national issues. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this tonight. But just think about it. Why should we have a national issue? No one's really attacked us, so we don't have to have a referendum on going to war. Although we do this constantly, we've been doing it for over 100 years. Do we need a referendum on Congress on health care? No. Do we need it on taxes? Absolutely not. We shouldn't even have an income tax nor a payroll tax. All taxes should be local because they should go to our local governments, our local governing bodies. The Congress and our president should just be checks on one another, together with the judicial branch of government, to ensure that no one is trampling on our rights, inalienable rights, I should say, or our freedom or our liberty. And they should just make sure that no one's, in fact, basically, they should ensure that no one's doing anything. Now, that would be a good government. There is not one issue that requires the U.S. Congress involvement. Not one. Now, you could say, well, we have a war. No, we perpetrated that war. We started that war. You say, well, people attacked us. Planes went into the World Trade Center. That was a criminal act. That was not an act of war. We have no idea who these people, I mean, we know their names, I guess, you know, we know sort of loosely, maybe an affiliation with things called Al-Qaeda, whatever that means, but that was not a war against the United States. It was a criminal attack, and it was done so in retaliation for all of the criminal acts that our presidents have perpetrated overseas. So they were just trying to get even any way they can. I know that sounds very un-American, but unfortunately, that's the fact. And also, we should not have Congress vote on anything. I cannot think of one item Congress should be voting on. And yet, we have relegated ourselves to being slaves, or pawns, if you will, to congressional action, which means limitations on our freedom, which means enslaving us, which means taking our money and using it for reasons that we don't particularly agree on. Congress should have no power whatsoever. The power is with the people. Our problem here today in the United States is that we have a mindset which is not consistent with our Constitution. We are supposed to be a free people. Now, we walk around saying, oh, we're free. We're free people. We're free people. You know, this is free. The United States is free. We are no more free than the serfs were free during the medieval times, you know, with the lords and kings looking over us. And what did the serfs do? They toiled on their land and gave homage to the king or the lords. And we're doing the same thing here. You ever wonder why we call congressmen and people from Congress, we give them titles? I mean, titles that are fit for only royalty? I mean, we really have to. Our problem is that we don't think. We think within the context. For example, we call our congressman here honorable. The honorable. What the hell made him so damn honorable? Why isn't the average citizen honorable? They are the public servant, and yet we call them honorable. This is the way we get brainwashed into thinking that they lead us, we follow, we have to do whatever they say, because they must know what it is that we need. Congress should pass no laws. Station break. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Your host, Joe Cristiano, is speaking right now. And we'd like you to call in, please, 646-652-4620, especially if you disagree. That's 646-652-4620. Tom, thank you for your email. Here's email number two coming up. Thank you, Marie. Just caught this tidbit. Oh, this is from Tom again. What do you know? Tidbit on TruthNet Radio. And it says, the United States should be renamed to the USSA. That's interesting. USSA. Not the USA. USSA. And it says, and it should be called United Socialist States of America. Absolutely. 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 All right, let's see what we have here. All right, This is from Southside, Southside in Baltimore. Southside, thank you for writing. And he's a new time listener, I think. And he said the United States representatives are the new pirates of today. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I complained about Clinton, Bush 1, now Bush 2, and we will complain about Obama or McCain. So I wonder if this is how you keep the Titanic afloat. Good point. Do you foresee the outsourcing of Congress and the Senate to some other country? If they can outsource my job, why not theirs? I like it. You're snotty. I like that. Yeah, good point. But again, we shouldn't outsource their jobs because they shouldn't be doing anything. They have no power to do anything. It's the power of the people. Madonna me, I can't believe. All right, this is from Bryson, Kansas. But we got tons of emails today, this week. He says, actually, I'm a brand new... He says, love the show, by the way. I love to hear that, by the way. Would you just send... People just send me emails saying, I love your show, you're wonderful. It makes me feel good, you know? I love the show, by the way. He says, I am actually a brand new libertarian. And now, it is a long email, so I'm just going to pick and choose. A majority of my friends are very liberal and are more or less socialists. Join the club. Everyone, even the Republicans today, are socialists, and they don't realize it. Everyone's a socialist. Ask a Republican about Social Security. Of course, Social Security is important. Well, they're socialist. Right? He said, their big issue is the war on terror. They actually got mad at me when I literally... And called me an idiot to my face, he said, for supporting Bob Barr and the Libertarians. He said, then they said Obama was against the war in Iraq. I said, we told them that if they were against the war, then they couldn't support Obama because he was just going to redeploy his troops to Iraq and then to put him in Afghanistan. They told me angrily that they wouldn't talk to me anymore. Well, that happens very often. This happens often, and I am glad to have a stance that works logically and I can use to defend myself when referred to as an idiot. Well, Bryce, you're not an idiot. And let me suggest something. Instead of pointing out the error of their ways, which is what I used to do all the time, I just ask questions. Oh, he's against the war in Iraq. All right. And what's the program then? What is his program on the war in Iraq? And if they say, well, he wishes to end the war in Iraq. And I said, okay, now, what about the war in Afghanistan? And then you can ask them, what is his position there? And then they say, well, he probably wants to continue. And all of a sudden, they find themselves trapped. And even if they say, well, I'm sure he'll get out of Afghanistan. Also, you say, well... Right now, we have 761 military bases around the world. You know, most of them propping up dictators. Now, I know he's not responsible for that, but has he addressed that in any of his speeches? Will he close the 761 military sites in 151 foreign countries, representing 510,927 military personnel? What's his stance on that? And then all of a sudden, they realize that the stance on Iraq is simply a red herring. It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. Enough of our email, but I got to say a lot of what I wanted to say regarding the duties of the president. Here's something interesting. I was listening to C-SPAN, and they had four presidential chiefs of staff on stage. And they interviewed them. And I said, ha-ha, maybe I'll get to learn something, get some insight from these people who are very, very close to the president. Well, the first question that was asked is that, what are some of the ingredients that make, you know, a successful or a good president? Something along those lines, that type of question. Well, they all teased the person who was had to go first because it was a very difficult, he felt it was a very difficult question to ask, and they laughed, and they said, well, why me? And they laughed back and forth. And immediately I thought to myself, easiest question in the world. I wish they would have asked me that question. The only prerequisite for a good president, I mean, provided he's clinically sane, is to understand the Constitution. I mean, truly grasp the intent and the spirit of the Constitution. And I stood there waiting for this guy, and I don't recall his name. He was one of the former chiefs of staff for one of the presidents. And he says, well, let's see if I can sort of summarize this. Well, you need to have someone with good decision-making, and da-da-ba-ding, ba-da-bang, ba-da-boom, you know. And he went on and on in this circular talking, circular logic, and he's got to be someone who's intuitive and be able to digest a lot of information, da-da-ba-ding, ba-da-bang, ba-da-boom. And I'm thinking, what information? For what? For what purpose? And then this man actually had the audacity, and I'm sure they're going to play it back on C-SPAN, so please, be my guest, listen to C-SPAN, and you'll listen to these clowns, and they were a bunch of clowns, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was not impressed with these characters at all. But they said, and because our presidents are surrounded by such talented people, that they, and we do vote in the right people. We, the people, vote in the right people. He said this. He said that the presidents always make the right decision. And I stood there and I said, this is deja vu all over again. Do you recall any of you people who were in the Catholic Church, which I was at one time, I was raised a Catholic, the Pope was infallible. And if you look back into history, some of the decisions the popes made were horrible decisions. I mean, these type of decisions were made, and literally people were killed, you know, for the sake of religion. I mean, there were lots of wars were fought. I mean, people were killed. I mean, it was horrible. Popes have made some of the dumbest decisions, some of the worst decisions in history. And we say the Pope is infallible. And when you question that, they go, oh, that was a long time ago, but now they're infallible. Well, they made mistakes back then. Well, then, were they infallible then? And no one can answer that question. Well, it sounded like the same thing. It sounded like the president is infallible. And I'm saying, first of all, the president isn't infallible. Secondly, we get some of the biggest jerks that we vote in. We get people who are front men for the real shadow government. And third, the president has absolutely no power whatsoever at all. And this is a segue to my program tonight. What is the duty of the president? Well, it's very simple. The duty of the president is to make certain that he understands the spirit of the Constitution. He understands that he is to keep check on the legislative branch to ensure that those clowns don't do anything that impinges upon the citizens who have all the power, their rights, their liberty, and their freedom. Case closed. Everyone after that could go home. In fact, in the Constitution, it says that the Congress must meet at least once a year, second week in December, I believe it is, once a year, because the intent was that these guys were not going to do anything. They weren't going to do anything because they had no power invested in them to do anything. So they got together once a year, probably to have a drink, make sure everything was okay, make sure that the union was still won. If there were any questions or any disagreements between the states, they would try to resolve it. They weren't to pass any laws, you know, that affected the people who lived in the sovereign states of the United States. Folks, we've got a real problem in the way we think about our government. Now, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We do implore you, please, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call in with your questions. Now, if you're listening to this on a rebroadcast, you can send in your questions to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. You can also phone them in now to area code 918-919-0101. Now, as a result of us allowing the president all of these powers and the Congress all these powers, which they should not have, let's take a stroll down history lane. Here's an article by James Bovard. Tremendous. I have tremendous respect for this man. This was in the Freedom Daily for the Future of Freedom Foundation booklet in August of 2008. He says, do presidents have the right to kill? Do presidents have the right to kill? Now, I'm sure everyone listening is going to say, of course not. They don't have the right to kill. I mean, they're all humans. They're subject to all the laws of the land. All right? Well, let's take a look at this. Woodrow Wilson intervened in Mexico and Haiti, and it was true of the Republican interventions throughout Latin America in the 20s, of which many people were killed. Think about that. Woodrow Wilson intervened in Mexico and Haiti. That's how we got Southern California. And then we got the Southern states. And we killed a lot of people to do that. Franklin Roosevelt approved the carpet bombing of German and Japanese cities, resulting in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of women and children. Do presidents have the right to kill? I want to ask that question again. Harry Truman approved the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, knowing full well they were not military bases. They were cities occupied by men, women, and children. Tens of thousands of people died a horrible death. In the Korean War, U.S. troops followed the rules of engagement that ensured that large numbers of Korean women and children would be killed. Towns and villages were routinely flattened by U.S. bombers. But it was okay because they were fighting in a military campaign or a police action, as Truman would say, authorized by the president. Now, this is from the article by James Bovard, Do Presidents Have a Right to Kill? Now, the segment of this program is the duty of the president. Well, obviously, the duty of the president is to kill other people, is to become a mass murderer and not be held accountable for it. Now, that's not what the Constitution says, but that's what it has evolved to. This is the frightening part of our government. This is why there is terrorism, because our presidents go around killing innocent people with impunity. And we want to know why people hate us. The duty of the president is only to ensure that our rights, freedom, and liberty are maintained. And that the legislative branch doesn't do anything to infringe upon them. Let's go on. The U.S. military in Korea formally defined war crimes as actions done by communists, not by the United States or its allies. In Vietnam, Lyndon Johnson approved preemptive attacks on villages and entire broad swaths of South Vietnam held by or suspected of sympathizing with the Viet Cong. As if we knew the difference. He never faced the prospect of being charged with war crimes in the United States, in part because he managed to sell his carnage to the American people as necessary to the defense of freedom. And we bought it hook, line, and sinker, folks. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Everyone should have been protesting. Richard Nixon upped the ante, didn't he? By bombing Cambodia and Laos. Bill Clinton ordered the bombing of Belgrade in 1999. Most of the American media went along with the ride, treating this as his unprovoked assault on Serbia as if it was a little bit more than a U.S. effort to bring enlightenment to the dark corner of the world. The hundreds of Serbs and ethnic Albanian women and children killed by American bombs and missiles rarely rated even an asterisk on the American political scene. You read this article. It's fantastic. Again, it's an article by James Bovard, which I'm reading from. Do presidents have the right to kill? What is the duty of the president? The duty of the president is just to uphold the Constitution, to protect our rights, and to keep a check on the legislative branch to make sure that they don't take our freedoms away from us and our liberty away from us. But the way it has evolved is that the presidents now are mass murderers. They are. History proves it, and they can kill with impunity. Let's go on. Yet, if a foreign ruler authorized killing Somalis or Afghans or Pakistanis, Americans would almost certainly consider the foreign attacks acts of war. Folks, we need a total change in our thinking. We need to flush, literally flush our thinking out. We need to change our thinking. And I'll give you an example. Just this afternoon, I read an article about roads. Could roads be privatized? And to me, I did not really. I mean, I'm a libertarian. And they addressed that. They said, well, you need a change of thinking. This is what the article says. It says even the most adamant or ardent libertarians really have a problem with this. And he said, when you think about it, private property is private property, eminent domain aside. The government takes your property away from you, builds a road, and then if you don't pay for the maintenance of that road or the building and maintenance of that road, you go to jail. That's not a free country, is it? And they say, just think for a second before. He said, I'm not going to get into the, in this article, he didn't get into the details, but he says, just think if the roads were private, how our entire transportation system may be different. Totally different. We may be taking little airplanes places. We may be relying on public transportation. Everything would change. There may not be an oil crisis. I mean, you really have to think. In other words, it requires that you change your entire method of thinking. Not from this point on, but you have to go back and unravel all the belief systems that have been perpetrated on you from day one, from the time that you went to government school system. And it's a very, very difficult thing to do. But when you start thinking that way, you realize that the way we are conducting business today from government is all wrong. Interesting. Okay, wow, this half hour went pretty quickly. Well, we didn't get any calls this evening, and I'm not too happy about that. But you can call in to area code 918-919-0101 after this broadcast if you're listening on a rebroadcast. But please do send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I will answer them on the air. In fact, someone sent me a very detailed email, and I will answer that email in detail on our Thursday morning broadcast. It should be very, very interesting. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life. Folks, embrace it. The government is like training wheels, and they ain't no fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk. Don't steal, the government hates competition. I love that. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.